السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. سبحانک لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انک انت العلیم الحکیم. اللہم صلی علی محمد عبدک ورسولک وصلی علی المؤمنین والمؤمنات والمسلمین والمسلمات. اللہم الہمنا مراشد امورنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اما بعد. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا ایہا الذین آمنوا لا تدخلوا بیوت النبی الا ان یؤذن لکم الى طعام غیر ناظرین انا ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين للحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما. صدق اللہ العظیم. Respected elders and brothers, the ulama made mashwara that one of the things to be mentioned this Friday is the virtues and importance of the Jummah Salah and the virtues and benefits of coming early to the masjid before the first azan to the masjids on a Friday Jummah time. So alhamdulillah, those that came early, they are already here. These virtues have to be given to those that are coming late. So inshallah, towards the end of the bayan, we will discuss the virtues of coming early for Jummah Salah, inshallah al-Aziz. We are very, very fortunate to be Muslims, and we all love our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Rasulullah taught us every aspect of our life. The Quran Sharif is the last and final authentic book of Allah Ta'ala amongst us. And all the famous hadith kitabs, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Abu Dawud, the kitab that the senior ulama in the Darul Ulums teach, these are all authentic teachings of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the teachings of Nabi Sassam, the ulama have categorized it. One is you get the aqaid, that there's no more Nabi after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have strong love and respect for every Sahabi, companion of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Had Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, had Umar radiallahu anhu, had Usman radiallahu anhu, had Ali radiallahu anhu. All the Sahaba that took part in Ghazwa-e Badr, Ghazwa-e Uhud, Ghazwa-e Tabuk, in Fath-e Makkah, and we have sincere love and respect for them. And when we speak about the Ahl-e Bayt, the immediate family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all our spiritual mothers, the honorable wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith Bibi Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hadith Aisha radiyallahu anha, Hadith Zainab radiyallahu anha, the Safiya radiyallahu anha, the Hafsa radiyallahu anha, etc. There isn't time. But we have sincere love and respect for the true Ahl Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's common sense, both the father-in-laws of Rasulullah sallam, had Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, had Umar radiyallahu anhu, whose daughters were in the nikah of Rasulullah sallam, they are part of the Ahl Bayt. And both the son-in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hadh Usman radiallahu anhu, Hadh Ali radiallahu anhu, they are definitely part of the Ahl Bayt. That the daughters of Rasulullah was in the nikah of Hadh Usman radiallahu anhu, and Hadh Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandchildren that were made shaheed at Karbala. May Allah grant the shuhada the highest rank in Jannah. The martyrs are enjoying themselves in Jannah. And we have sincere love for all the Sahaba, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, made shaheed in Uhud. How we highlight the incident of Karbala, we have to highlight the martyrs of Ghazwa-e Badr, which was one of the first combat between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And the Muslims, the early Muslims, where Rasulullah himself took part in the expedition. In Karbala, the grandsons of Rasulullah, the Ahl Bayt, were made shaheed. But in Ghazwa-e Badr, Nabi Sallallahu physically took part. And those that were made shaheed, it was a lot of sacrifice. They were ill-equipped. And Allah sent angels to assist the Sahaba and the early Muslims. Now, the other part of our deen is ibadat. One is salah, 5 times a day we read, is very, very important. And we have our mu'amalat, our monetary dealings also, we need to be honest. And we have our mu'asharat, our social life, our interaction with people. Today I've recited verses from Para 22, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 53. In this ayat, Allah gives us a lesson of the guest. If he's invited for a meal by somebody's house, how must the guest behave at the home of the host? Now, certain incidents took place during the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these incidents became verses of the Quran, so that people to the day of Qiyamah practice on this wonderful teachings of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It so happened our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he invited some of the Sahaba for a meal to his own house. Now the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very simple, not like the mansions we have today. And our spiritual mothers each had a small apartment next to each another. And many of us who were fortunate to go for Umrah or Hajj, we go to Madinah Munawwara. And we send salawat and durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most highlight and emotional time we send durood is when we write there Baroza Mubarak. May Allah take us there again and again. But Allama Iqbal mentioned a beautiful poem. Aashiq-e Rasool jahaz par bhi, jahaz se bhi durood bhejte hain, Madina wo durood pahunch jata hai farishte ke zariye se. He said, wherever in the world, whichever city, country of the world, we recite salawat and durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an angel take our name by the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that so and so send durood. And such a aashiq-e Rasool جو نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں پر عمل کرے, نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تعلیمات پر عمل کرے. The true عاشق of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم who practice on the beautiful sunnah teaching of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم wherever they are. And we don't get impressed with the Western way of life, with their culture and their way of living. We try to put the sunnah of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in our life. Now in this verse number 53, Surah Al-Ahzab, it is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited some of his companions for a meal to his home. It so happened some of them came a bit early. Because time is short, I'm not doing word for word translation. I'm just giving the gist of it. And also, after eating, the Sahabas, instead of returning, they still remain seated in the home. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a wonderful character, wonderful akhlaq. First of all, he was a bit upset that they came a bit early They should wait for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to call them in the house and then come. Don't just force entry or just come away like you're ready to go. Wait few minutes. When the host, when the man of the house calls you in, you must come in. One of the main reasons is we have to observe the laws of hijab. If we don't know what's the condition of the women folk at home, whether they are in the kitchen, whether in the lounge, setting the table, or setting the dastarkhan, and whether they got the scarf on their head, got the burqa on their head, we don't know. So the man of the house will see when it's appropriate to call the guests in the house. The women folk are in the kitchen or in the room, wherever, and they're not in the place where the guests are going to eat. So this incident took place that the Sahabas came a bit early, and this upset Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the second thing happened is after eating, must get up and go away. But they were sitting. But they were sitting out of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every sentence that he speaks, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever blessed words comes out from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is wahi, divine revelation. So the Sahabas, they look for every opportunity to sit a little while extra in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So although the meals was over, they were still sitting, but with that good intention, they want to learn something new from our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi Sallam, being the host, he find it difficult to tell them, now you must get up and leave. So they were not leaving. Nabi Sallam still displayed his tolerance and his good character. Nabi Sallam went to the home of one of another wife. They were just next door. So with the intention that if Nabi Sallam walks out, maybe the guest will also walk out and go away and leave. So Nabi Sallam walked out, but some of them were still reluctant to leave. Anyway, they left after some time. And this whole episode became an ayat of the Quran in Para 22, Surah Ahzab, page 50. So today also, if you are invited somewhere, we don't enter the home unless the man of the house invite us, mainly because he put his wife into parda, in a separate room, etc. The laws of parda are not compromised. Second is that after eating also, don't sit a little while extra. And maybe the host need to go to work, you have to go to shop, he's got some other commitments, he's got a doctor's appointment to attend to, etc. Now, all these personal commitments what the host may have, the guest may not know. So after eating, also make salam and walk out. And sometimes also, we as humans, when friends and family get together after a meal, sometimes we speak something good and then we start speaking something controversial, and Aliyazubay we start backbiting, slandering, and sana we end up speaking of some ulama or some pious personalities. We need the du'as of the pious. We need the du'as of the pious personalities. And to control our tongue from backbiting, slandering, etc., we control our mixing with people. Mix for some reason, for good reason. Like we come to the masjid to read our Faraz Salatul Jama'ah. We read Salah, Zikr, there's some program by some guest, whatever. And also the masjid, we make salam. And Nabi Sallam said, do not regard any good deed as insignificant. Even making salam to your Muslim brother with a smiling face is very much rewarding, and you get sawab for that. But then after that, sometime we start talking and talking. You got some important work, it's understood. You call him one side, I got something to discuss, some private matter, is understood. You're not saying no. But for no reason, we have a gathering of talking and gossip. During the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, There was not electricity like how we have today. So people, when it was moonlit night, and especially when the weather is hot, the Sahaba used to go outside and the moonlit light sit and start talking. Again, this incident took place for us to learn till the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Sallallahu stopped the Sahaba. He said, don't sit on a moonlit night and gossip outside, because a lot of time between Isha and Fajr. And first of all, you speak something good is understood. But for 1 hour, 2 hours, what you are going to talk? And if you sleep early, you'll be able to get up for tahajjud, get up for Fajr, can spend the night in Quran tilawat, read the evening surahs, read tasbih Fatimi, take tasbih, make zikr, etc. Spend it correctly and wisely. So today also, we have a balance in our time and our friendship with people, and the free time we have, take the tasbih and make zikr, take the Quran and recite Quran, and Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us. Okay, the ulama have suggested, I received a message from the ulama group, that you must give virtues of coming early for Jummah on a Friday. So I said, those that came early, they don't need this message. Those that came late, they need the message. So let me speak on the virtues of Jummah. Every Friday before the first azan, Allah appoints angels to sit at the entrance of the masjid. And whoever comes early for Jummah, they get the reward of giving one expensive red camel in charity. Now the ulama gave a beautiful explanation. This red camel was regarded as a very expensive mode of transport. Today you have the Mercedes, BMW, we don't speak, the many other luxury vehicles that we have. It goes into millions. Now you come early for Jummah, you get the reward of giving a very expensive, the most expensive luxury vehicle for 2 million that is available today. You're giving that amount of money in charity. Then you come a little bit later, you get the reward of giving the most expensive ox or a most expensive milking cow that is sold in the auction. Sometimes sold for 40,000, 50,000, some 100,000, some breeding cows goes for 500,000 rand. So you'll get the reward of giving the most expensive cow or ox in charity when you come a little bit later. And then you come even more later, you get the reward of giving an expensive goat or a sheep in charity. That may be 3,000-5,000 rand or something. And you come even more later, you get the reward of giving an expensive hen or a chicken, maybe 100 rand or 200 rand in charity. And you come even more later, you get the reward of giving one egg in charity. Egg is how much? 5 rand, 10 rand. And when the imam sits on the mimbar for the Arabic khutbah, then the angel close the books. You'll get, your faraz will be discharged, but the reward that you're supposed to get, you won't get that reward.